Greetings, cultivators worldwide. Jordan River here, back with more GrowCast. My par map leads to pirate treasure. Today we have Queen of the Sun, show favorite, back on the line. She's here to talk about washing hash. She's here to talk about organic agriculture. We also have a big announcement towards the end of this show. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Very exciting work coming up, a collaboration between GrowCast and Queen of the Sun. And I know you're going to love the episode. It's very, very powerful. Before we get into it with Queen of the Sun, I'm going to give some love to Rain Science Grow Bags, my favorite containers for growing cannabis. The Rain Science Grow Bags, you can find them at rainsciencegrowbags.com. Code GROWCAST gets you 10% off, and these things will last a lifetime. They're mesh. You can wash them out. It's not like the fabric pots. They don't get all nasty. And you can get Rain Science beds. You can get low riders. You can get tall ones. They really allow that air pruning and the best breathability you can get. The fabric ones are nice, but they get pretty funky pretty fast. Like I said, you can pass these ones down to the next generation. Rain Science Grow Bags last forever. Go make the purchase and use it for the rest of your life. RainScienceGrowBags.com, code GROWCAST. All right, everyone, let's get into it with Queen of the Sun. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in again today. Before we get started, as always, I urge you to share the show, turn someone on to growing, tell them about GrowCast, and make sure you check out our secret society of growers, the Order of Cultivation, at growcastpodcast.com/membership. If you've been out for a while, come back in. We'd love to have you. We love return members. I'll see you there, everybody. Today we have on the line, wonderful friend of the show, Queen of the Sun, is back. What's up, Queen of the Sun?
Hey, Jordan. Happy to be here. It's been a while.
Yes, absolutely. We needed you back. We needed you back for Nug Mashin' May. Now, these themes of the month are just getting ridiculous. You know, we had the we had the worldwide December where we went around the world talking to growers and all these different themes, but now we're into Nug Mashin' May. Basically, we're talking about hash. We're talking about extract of all kinds and just extracting these cannabis products. And so I thought to myself, we got to have Queen of the Sun on because your wealth of knowledge from the cultivation side, but you've also got this like gray market, black market, like kind of like badass feel and knowledge. So I just wanted to have you on for this hash month and pick your brain a little bit. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting that you're calling it Nug Mash in May because I just read recently that the more that you damage the flower, the more chlorophyll you will get in your hash or concentrate. And so then it actually impairs the flavor. So realistically, the less mashing you do, the better flavor your hash will be.
No kidding. And it's a reference to the rosin press that we all start with, right? Which is you take a bud and you get a hot hair straightener.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You mash that nug. But having spoken to all these craft cannabis makers, sounds like nobody does that. Sounds like everybody's doing bubble. But yeah, we're going to get into all of that today. I'm really, really excited. Approaching this from a home grow perspective. You know, we've had some pretty esteemed guests on, but I like Queen of the Sun because she thinks holistically, and that's exactly what we're doing today. Queen of the Sun, when you take a look at these home growers, you know, they're growing a lot. I said this on the live stream last night. They've got 10 bags of sugar leaf in their freezer, and they don't have enough room for their frozen burritos and their ice cream anymore. Aside from that, why should everybody take a crack at making hash and try their hand at it?
Well, first of all, it's sustainable. And so you're using all parts of the plant. Your inputs go further because you're going to be creating a value-added product. And then it's just making your stash go longer. You know, like all that work you put into your harvest, you're going to make it last longer and it's going to taste better because there's less chlorophyll in concentrate. And in my humble opinion, you can truly taste the essence of the plant much better in a concentrate form rather than flower.
I think a lot of people would agree with that. Whether it's bubble, sift, you know, rosin, it all alters it a little bit. But, and listen, I'm a flower guy. Don't get me wrong. Like flower is my jam. But there is something more, dare I say, purified about this extraction.
Oh, yeah. Concentrated, perhaps?
You got it. And yeah, I think a lot of people are just scared to do it. I know I didn't do it for years and years. I just did it for the first time in 2021 with a couple of great members. And it was so fun and it was so easy. So I really recommend people, I know you've been listening to this month already, really recommend that you try it out. whoever's step, you know, step-by-step process you end up following, go and try it out and try it for the first time. Write me and let me know how it goes, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's healthier for you too, like to smoke a concentrate versus smoking flower. Sure. It's just easier on your lung. You're not smoking all that plant matter. And you know, what's funny is I got pushed into making hash back in 2017 without really knowing anything. Like, I had just started growing and my partner at the time was making hash with all of our byproducts, trim, dry sift, anything and everything. And I had no idea that it was illegal to blow butane at home. So we're just packing glass tubes in the backyard. Like, then I'm reading in the newspaper, like, butane, honey oil, house explosion. I'm like, what? We could blow up the house doing this?
No. Like, that's terrible, Queen of the Sun. Yes, it's extremely dangerous. Doing it in the backyard is a good idea. But what I meant to say was doing it in the backyard is a safer place to do it.
I don't recommend doing that. Home growers, I don't recommend doing that.
I remember living in Eureka, California, and you would literally hear, and then read in the news that a fucking house exploded, you know, three streets down.
Yeah, it wasn't in that neck of the woods. It was never a meth lab explosion. It was a butane lab explosion.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's true.
Okay, so now I know it's illegal and, you know, you shouldn't do that at home. But there are safe ways to make concentrate at home and in small batches. And, you know, you can do solventless or use a solvent like ethanol. That, I think, is probably the easiest way to make concentrate at home.
Ooh, okay. Well, should we start with solventless versus solvent before we get into the extraction methods? You know, just obviously for like 30,000 foot view beginner, solvent extraction uses a product of some kind, a solvent like a butane. It uses a chemical reaction process. Yep. Versus solventless, you don't have that. So it's usually heat and pressure, like the rosin pressure that squishes
it. It's kind of not true when you're saying solventless and you're referring to ice water, because water technically is a solvent.
It's the greatest solvent. Yeah, that's true.
But when people are referring to solventless, they're usually referring to, ice water or a press, rosin press.
No, that's a good point. So water is a solvent. And when we classify those two, we kind of ignore that. What we're referring to is the chemical solvents that people use, like propane, ethanol,
butane. Any hydrocarbon.
There you
basically.
Go. Which do you prefer, though? I mean, come on, talk to me about the differences. I know you make that beautiful rosin, but what are your thoughts on solventless versus, a lot of people won't even smoke BHO anymore.
Yeah, I know. And until I met my husband, I didn't know that there was like this whole division of like, I don't smoke solvents. like, cause he's like that. He's like, no.
He's got that good shit. I've smoked his rosin.
Yeah. And, you know, I prefer solventless, I guess, or ice water hash, because I'm thinking if you don't purge correctly, you can have really high PPMs, parts per million of the solvent, residual solvent analysis left in your concentrate. And that can't necessarily be good for you. I mean,
no way.
Ingesting butane, heptane, all of these different hydrocarbons, you know, it's not great. So I would say now in my maturity, I would go for bubble hash or rosin. But when I was younger, I mean, my first cannabis company was focused on hydrocarbon extracts. Like, we did ethanol, we did heptane, we did butane. You know, I'd smoke shatter, I'd smoke sugar, I'd smoke diamonds, THCA, like pure isolate. Man, I love that. That was like, honestly, if you offered that to me, I would still take it. I mean, that's like pure, I kind of want to say like the Adderall of cannabis. It's just like pure THC. There's none of that entourage effect. You're not getting any, it's not really medicinal, you know, but it's super focused.
It seems unbalanced when I've consumed it. I don't know. But that, again, that's just my biology. And I know some people like that. But I need that entourage effect.
Yeah, it's way better. But when you are working at some menial task, like potting 200 plants, a little bit of that right there can make it go by super quick. But, you know, to each his own. And I really don't turn down any form of cannabis too often.
Like a good stoner. That means you're a pious stoner.
Especially, you know, if it's like, I know that it's made ethically or cleanly, sustainable. All my friends, usually I trust them.
Right.
So, you know, the guy who made the THC isolate for us, he has a PhD. He owns Chemistry, which is a brand in California. And he used to be my extractor for hydrocarbon. And he was on the research team that found the cure for Hep C. So this guy is like super high PhD chemist. And of course, I'm going to smoke his THC isolate. I mean, yeah, it was great. I personally don't have a huge preference if I'm smoking between solvent and solventless, as long as it's been purged properly and there isn't a ton of residual solvents. But then again, it's like if you're doing an ethanol extraction, like for RSO, if you have a little bit of ethanol left over and you're using that in an edible, is it really that bad for you? Because vanilla extract is 35% freaking ethanol. You know what I mean? Like,
I think the consumption process probably does matter. Yeah, no question about that. In fact, if you're volatilizing and igniting that material, it may have a totally different interaction with your biology than if it's just consumed straight into your stomach acid filled digestive tract.
So that's a good question to ask yourself is like, okay, if you're deciding whether or not you want to turn your product into like how you want to extract it, it's like, well, what's the end product going to be? What do you want to do with that?
Right.
Are you trying to make edibles? Because then ethanol extraction is great, or using a solvent, super easy. Are you trying to smoke it? Then probably go solventless because it's going to be a little bit healthier for you.
That's a good point. You know, I would like to kind of unofficially give my opinion on how those ratios break down. I think that over 50% of growers do something with their trim.
I hope so.
I think that over half, even if it's like 50 or 60, I think that the other, you know, I don't know, 25 to 40%, let's say, again, this is all my speculation. I'd love to hear what you...
This is anecdotal.
Exactly. I'd love to hear what the audience thinks or anything like that. I think those other people probably smoke some of their trim. I know people who give away trim, and I know people who have other people process it for them. So I think that like 50 to 60% of growers probably do something with their own trim. I think that most people would like to make it into hash. I think a lot of them are intimidated or don't do it. I think a lot of people make it into butter because it's super, super easy. I see that more than anything else, in fact. I see people saying, hey, I threw my trim into some butter. For some reason, that doesn't seem to intimidate people the same way that buying some bubble bags sometimes does. And then I think there's like, I don't know, maybe 1 in 10 growers who are like masters who make like incredible, like really good bubble or are making these edibles and things like that and really dive into that side of the craft instead of just doing something with their material. But anyways, I was just thinking about what that might look like. You have any thoughts on that?
When you're saying like those numbers, are you referring to home growers?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Because I was going to say, in my experience on a commercial level, most growers don't do anything with it.
Most growers don't do anything with their trim in commercial cultivation?
Yeah, they just try and sell it.
They just try and sell their trim. Right. Okay. Wow. Yep. They just try and sell it. Oh, and you know what? That's a good point. I was kind of ignoring the people who might sell that. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense from the cultivation side. You just get rid of it. Say, hey, I've got this trim for sale. Is that wise in your opinion? Isn't that letting a lot of value go right out the door?
If you're doing this commercially, you have a lot of work on your plate already. And so
it's true.
I know people who just compost it because it's literally too much effort. Yeah. Yeah, I know. When you have hundreds of pounds or thousands of pounds of weed being processed, it's like, well, the trim isn't worth the time to do anything with it. It's a shame. It really is. But
especially
this past year in California, with the crash, people couldn't even get money for their trim. So that's why the whole splitting thing with the extractor is like so convenient. You know, they take 50% of the end product and then you get 50% back and everyone's happy. I mean, But in that situation and scenario, if you do find someone to do that for you, most of the time they take the best.
Oh, they're not my like, God, that's no. insane. You're walking around with wheelbarrows full of it, like the 1946 Deutschmark. Like, what? This is something is broken with this economy. If you, it has inherent value. Yep. That's really wild. And we had a previous guest talking about how the trichomes on the sugar leaves are they're different from the trichomes on the bud, and how they're actually very, very complex, and you should not waste those. To think of that going into the, well, compost is a good place to do it, but just the fact that they can't find value for it is frightening.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I mean, we just moved from California to Washington, and we brought in our camper trailer probably 200 to 300 pounds of trim.
Wow. So, oh my God.
We have a lot of material to go through. And really, that's a huge like question, is what quality is your starting material? And that will help you determine of which route you want to go, how you want to process it. So if it's like, maybe, you know, while you're drying, if you started getting a little bit of mold or something like that, you can wash it with a solvent. You can do a hydrocarbon extract, and it will remove any impurities. If there's bugs or mold or dirt, anything like that, you're going to get a decent product still if you use a solvent.
Right.
Versus you can't do that with bubble bags. Like, you're not going to wash moldy weed, but you can do that with hydrocarbon and get something back.
I know a lot of people do that. That's just, you know, I think we're going to learn more and more as well about our inputs and how they affect on the extraction process. I remember the kind of breakthrough testing results from extracts that had been processed from plants grown with spinosad. Spinosad, yeah. The it is a Monterey Garden
Bugsy
insect.
Gone, Jax,
yeah,
or something.
No. That's different.
Okay.
This is Monterey Garden insect spray is the big brand name for it. Spinosad, and I think it's mostly mostly a biological control. It's like OMRI listed and all that stuff. But there are some studies you shouldn't inhale it. You probably shouldn't combust it, inhale it. And the funny thing was, plants were grown and sprayed with spinosad and harvested and tested the flower, and they did not test at least above the quantitative level for spinosad. And then apparently, and I believe Wolfman was the one who was talking about this, apparently they extracted that flower and tested the extract, and they had unacceptable levels of spinosad. So something about these extraction and concentration processes don't necessarily just target the things we want.
Yep, definitely. I mean, if there is anything on there, any kind of pesticide, you're making a concentrate, so it's going to be concentrated.
Whoa.
So obviously you shouldn't spray, and even if it's OMRI listed, that doesn't necessarily mean it's good. I mean, think about like pyrethrins, like Pyganic and stuff like that. That's listed, but it still kills our honeybees, gets into waterways, kills fish, amphibians. I mean, and it lasts. Like, I did some consulting work for a guy, and he was using Pyganic, and it was listed as something that you weren't supposed to use on cannabis. And I reached out to the EPA and the company, and they gave me back some test results and studies done on it. And when sprayed on like a potato plant, it was systemic on that plant 60 days after it was sprayed.
Wow.
So think about that. If you're spraying it on your cannabis, it's going to be still on there basically by the time you harvest.
I think one of the most important reasons to make your own hash at home is so you don't end up with that. I think that less and less people are using those shit products, your avermectins and your pylons and your shit like that. I do feel them being more scarce. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But at the end of the day, you want to know that there's not anything nasty and concentrated down in there. So make your own hash, right? That's the only way you can really know what went into it.
Yep, exactly. And then you're using, you know, everything left over from processing your own plant, and you're not wasting anything, and you're making, you know, all of those awesome reasons why you should make your own hash at home. And if you're like trimming everything and saving your keef, you can just throw that jar of keef straight in. You could press it, or you can just throw it straight in with your hash while you're making it. And that'll make it like extra.
Extra goody good. Yeah, I like that. this is just, we're all over the place because there's easy flow. So speaking of hash flow, what strains have you gotten to dump the most, flow the best? I would love to talk to you about bad hash strains, good hash strains, really specific cultivars that you've worked with. We'll be right back with Queen of the Sun, but before that, shout out to the Foop, baby. We have a new product announcement from the Foop, the Veg Pack. That's right, it comes with the Veg 1, the Veg 2, and the Sweetener. Everything your plants need through the veg cycle. You will not need to add any additives. You'll get those thick stalks. My roots are busting. Dark green, vibrant green canopies, and the Sweetener. Yes, we did have the recent Growcast TV guest say that you want as many different types of sugar as you can, and that Sweetener is where it's at. I also think that it's interesting that the Foop recommends that you use the Sweetener in veg. A lot of people recommend that you use it at the end of flower only, but you know that it feeds those beautiful microbes in there and unlocks all those other nutrients that you, so why wouldn't you add the Sweetener in veg? Comes in the Veg Pack. Foop is certified organic, OMRI listed. It works great in virtually all growing media. The Veg Pack is now available in 1 gallon sizes on Foop's website or a quart size on Amazon. You can find it at amazon.com/Foop or get the larger size at thefoop.com and always use code GROWCAST at thefoop.com for 15% off. No code for Amazon, but it's a much better deal with the 15% off and the larger size. Again, that's amazon.com/thefoop and thefoop.com for the gallon size. Amazon for the quart size. Also, make sure to get on their giveaway. This thing is sick, the Foop Mega Giveaway. It's $1,500 worth of grow gear. It's a full grow setup, light, tent, all that stuff. Just go to foopgiveaway.com. Tell them who you are. That's all you got to do. Again, fans, air filters, a huge tent, a couple of lights. It's everything you need to blow up your favorite room or basement or garage. All you got to do is go to foopgiveaway.com. Be healthy, go organic, use the Foop. And that's what I'm doing right now, and I'm loving it, baby. Thefoop.com, code GROWCAST. Go and try it, everybody. All right, let's get back to it with Queen of the Sun. So speaking of hash flow, what strains have you gotten to dump the most, flow the best? I would love to talk to you about bad hash strains, good hash strains, really specific cultivars that you've worked with.
Honestly, I've only worked with companies, only one company, and that was the chemistry company that was actually able to give me scientific data on the strains that they ran. So I could actually see how much of a return we were getting. Everyone else I've worked with has been kind of like black market, you know, they're just doing their thing. And so they tell me anecdotally, this does well. But when I worked with that lab, the THC bomb was like 26% return on dry material. And that's just like 6% above the average. Usually it's 15 to 20% return. So that was just like blown out of the water. We got so much back from that.
Jeez.
According to my husband, he really likes to wash lime crumble. He said that one dumps
lime
for him.
Lime crumble.
And then the talk around town in California last year was runts.
Oh, really?
Yep. Okay. Washing runts.
All right. We're gonna runts yo pod up right now because here was this hype strain. It came out, but I feel like a lot of people weren't. Like, there's always pushback against the hype train. I feel like a lot of people weren't on board with the runts. I had some really unimpressive runt samples. I recently had one grown by our own Wolfman that was very, very good. What do you think of the runts hype train?
Yeah, I'm never super into the hype strains and like just growing them because everyone, you know, thinks that you should, I guess. So I'm not pro runts. Like, I wouldn't grow it. We had a couple plants on our farm last year that somebody brought, and they were just small and didn't perform very well. They weren't taken care of very well, so that's also probably, you know, indicative of why they didn't do well. But, you know, to each his own. I think that there's obviously a reason why some of these strains get hype. Mm-hmm. So appreciate every strain for what it has and how it makes you feel, I guess.
Oh, I like that. I couldn't have put it better myself. I wonder if lime crumble is the same as crumbled lime, which is a jelly bean by Girl Scout Cookies Cross mixed with Biker
exactly.
Kush.
That's it.
Boom. Yep. And that was bred by Karma Squad. I haven't heard of Karma Squad. That's a cool name.
Yeah. And I've grown some jelly bean crosses and they just smell so good.
Nice.
I mean, I did the Sour Patch Kids with the jelly bean in it, and that just was so fruity. It literally was like a Sour Patch Kids. And I guess the crumbled lime is like Sprite, 7-Up. Like, so, and then another thing with the hype strain that, sorry, this is completely off what we were just talking about. But
no, please. People want to hear what you have to say.
Some things that you may not like in flower form, then maybe they turn out really well in a concentrate. And maybe that influences, you know, why some people really like a strain that when you grow it, you're like, ah, this isn't that, you know, special. Like Runtz. I was like, well, this didn't do very well or doesn't look that great to me. But then people love the hash because it returns really well and the flavor is much better and yada, yada, yada. So maybe there's, you know, just goes to show you that there may be another reason why something gets hype.
Sure. I mean, it's funny how that works, right? I think part of it's human nature. Part of it is manufactured. And, you know, the rest is just the secret sauce. And then you have the hype strain. Then you have the Runtz. There's some bygone that I just miss dearly. Mr. Nice. Where did you go, Purple Mr. Nice? I liked that strain.
I did a Purple Mr. Nice cross 2 years ago. What? It was Granddaddy crossed with Purple Mr.
Where
Nice.
Where are you hooking up? Do you still have those?
No. I wish. It turned out really, really nice.
Wow.
Those
are old school to me. I'm sure that there are real old school stoners who would laugh at that. But those are two old school strains in my book.
No, I would agree, but we're not very old, so.
We're not very old school, so we're a little bit newer on that track. You know that there's going to be a bunch of kids like, man, you remember that old school Runtz? Man, yeah. You can't find that anywhere, that classic old school Runtz. It's funny, that will be the case one day, 100%.
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, can't find it anymore. It's just so old school. I think it's gone forever. Like the skunk. I think it's gone forever. We'll never have it again. Oh, shit. So, yeah, more strain talk or what do you want to do here?
Yeah, I mean, we grew a whole greenhouse that didn't do very well. It was like our third run, just end of the season last year, super late. So it didn't really grow very long. We vegged it for maybe like a week just because inclement weather and all these things. So it didn't turn out awesome. It was the LA Kush Cake, and we've grown it before and it turned out amazing, but in these environmental conditions, it just didn't produce and perform. But then it was washed and it was phenomenal. The flavor, everything was so great. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm glad we didn't actually trim any of it. We just literally fresh frozen everything and then washed it all. And it turned out really, really nicely.
Nice. Yeah. It's funny. The cured stuff was all you could get for the longest time. And then it became just totally, you know, out of fashion to not fresh freeze. And now I wonder if there's going to be, you know, according to one of our other guests too, I wonder if there's going to be kind of equal camps.
Yeah. You know, we lost 2/3 of our freezers. The power shut off from PG&E and we didn't have the
fucking PG&E
freezers. I know. And the freezers didn't kick back on when the power came on. So it was my birthday and I was in Mammoth snowboarding and I came home and even though the power was on, like, and had kicked on, the freezers had to be manually turned back on. And so we lost like a huge portion of like an entire greenhouse that was grown just for fresh frozen.
That is brutal.
Oh, really, really.
I heard that pain noise right after. I'm sorry, Queen of the Sun. That's brutal. That's the life of the farmer, man. It's just so, so rough.
Yeah, you know, I try not to let anything get me too upset, you know. Live life at that in a state of yoga. Not too much high, not too much down, you know, just that middle line, like Buddha.
You got to go with the flow. Yeah, you got to go with the flow. And you know what? I think that everything has led up to a very interesting and abundant point that we're coming to here. A little tease for a tease at the end of this episode. We do have some pretty exciting news that I think you guys will want to hear. But yeah, fresh frozen strains. I don't know where we were.
Let's talk about temperature just in general, because we're talking about fresh frozen, you know, freeze, cold leads to temperature.
Lay it on me.
So the best quality bubble hash like people ask me, oh, how do you get your hash? How did it turn out? Why is it turned out so light in color? And our hash maker, he was adamant about washing at night when the temperatures were below 40 degrees.
Ooh, that's cold. That's cold even for the people who do cold rooms.
Yeah. I mean, he was just like, maybe below 50. Maybe I'm being a little bit too.
Well,
maybe it was below 50.
Still, very, very, as cold as you can get. It doesn't even get that cold out there. Hold on a second.
Yeah, I know. Only in December. Hey, I moved. Now it's freaking not even 50 degrees.
Okay, today. Okay, okay. For sure, for sure. I moved too, so I can't lord it over you. I'm out of Chicago, so yeah, I see. So you wait for it, and they would do that back there in Chicago too. They would go out in the winter and wash on their porch. I see Canadian members doing it in the member channel all the time. So you say wait for nighttime, wait for it to be cold, and that's when you do your washing.
Well, nighttime because it doesn't get that cold in California.
Right.
That's why you have to go out at night. But this is also translates over to solvents. Like an ethanol extraction, getting it as cold as possible. And what that does and why you want it to be as cold as possible is that chlorophyll doesn't transfer over, neither do lipids, fats, waxes. So you're getting a more pure extraction without all of that extra stuff in there, the colder the temperature.
Right. That makes perfect sense. So that's how you got that consistency and that color that, I mean, exactly. That was the big breakthrough, right? And I've had some really good dark rosin, but an indicator of good rosin and good bubble and good quality extract, if it's light, as long as it hasn't been somehow tampered to look like that, you're better
like
off.
CRC.
Yeah, you're better off kind of trusting that that's a high quality versus a dark could be a poor quality or it could just be a high quality that turned out dark, if that makes sense.
Well, it could still be great. It just, for some reason, people... like you just said, they associate the lighter color with a better quality, where it may just have pulled a little bit more chlorophyll. So the process was you're going to just get a little bit more of a green flavor in there.
Or some flavonoids, right? Like I've had some that came out like brown, almost purple. And I theorized that it was probably anthocyanin or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have yet to see like a purple hash, truly purple, but that would be super cool if it did.
I've seen a lot of purple hues for sure. Yeah, I would love to see purple or pink hash. That'd be fucking dope. But I've definitely seen that tinge.
I've seen it in the initial, like in the water for sure. Like the water just turns this bright pink or purple, but translating over to the finished product, it's like a little bit, you can tell, but
right.
Like I wish that it turned out like the color of the water that is washing, you know? Like,
that would be dope.
That would be really cool.
All right, we'll work on that. We'll work on that, listeners.
So maximum cold. And like I said, this ethanol, this is what I think that is super easy. If you don't want to go buy, you know, your bubble bags or your bubble machine and do that, an ethanol extraction is so easy to do. And you want it cold as well for that. And you can achieve those super cold temperatures by just throwing... And ethanol for listeners is just alcohol. So like the higher proof alcohol you can buy is the best for this type of extraction, like Everclear. I used to drive when I lived in Tahoe over to Nevada because they sold a higher level of alcohol content.
A more potent Everclear?
Yep, exactly.
Nice.
So you would just take your cannabis and your Everclear, your alcohol, whatever it is, and get it as cold as possible. You could throw it in the freezer or you can get some dry ice and just pour it over the cannabis.
Oh, yeah?
Pour that frozen alcohol over there and you can let it sit for 1 hour minimum up to 24 hours. And then after 24 hours, it's kind of pointless. But keep it as cold as possible. And alcohol doesn't freeze, so you just leave it in the freezer, right? And then strain it through a sieve and then strain it through a coffee filter. And then what you're left with, basically, is like you just got to let the alcohol evaporate out. You can just do that over time slowly, or you can apply a little bit of heat, like a heat mat under the Pyrex container.
Right.
And then it just evaporates out. And the more you let it evaporate, you just stop that evaporation process when it gets to the consistency that you want. You can straight up use that even as a tincture right there, or you can just allow it to get further and further evaporated and it'll become something that you could dab. But I like using this simple extraction method for mixing with edibles. And then if you do that, you're going to have to decarb it. So that's another thing to consider when you're making your concentrates. It's like, okay, what is your end product? Is it going to be an edible or is it going to be dabbable? Because if it's an edible, then you're going to need to decarb before you even make.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're going to have to decarb before the process even begins. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to the ethanol extraction. That's a great little home recipe that anyone can do with some high proof alcohol.
There's a website actually that has it broken down with nice little charts and a lot of information with exact temperatures. It's extractcrafter.com.
Ooh, extractcrafter.com.
Yeah. All right. And he is Ichiban Crafter and he has a whole page on ethanol extraction and it's really great. I mean, it's just such an easy way to turn any leftover without having to do butter. You know, because if you make butter, you have to bake.
Yeah.
It's not like you're just going to eat a stick of butter, but you can eat.
Speak for yourself.
Hey, I think I have a picture of me as a little kid eating butter. But you can just ingest, you can take, you know, RSO, ingest it, tinctures under your tongue, whatever, or you can mix it. I really like infusing honey with ethanol extraction.
Ooh,
it works really nicely.
Damn.
Yeah, which I have been making bubble hash infused honey gummy bears.
Oh man, you were telling me about some of the incredible gummies that you're making.
So much fun to make gummy bears. It's super easy. I put the recipe on my Patreon. So if you're interested, go ahead and subscribe.
What is that URL? Patreon.com/queen of the sun grown?
Grown.
Okay. Yep. Go and subscribe. It's a really great Patreon, you guys. It's loaded with resources. If you're thinking about getting into any of the regenerative agriculture stuff, any of the extraction stuff, it's a great, great Patreon. Go and support Queen of the Sun. And yeah, those resources are badass. So now the gummy bear recipe is up there.
Yep. And that's completely a shift from what I normally post. Normally it's articles on sustainable agriculture and the science of DIY and all that. But the month of April, I offered all of my patrons who subscribe to me some free gummies. And so I figured, well, I might as well share the recipe too, since I am all about the DIY, and then they can make their own gummy bears.
You rule. Go and check it out, everybody. That is dope. I love gummies. That's my thing. And you were telling me the flavors were all delicious, right? Like cranberry cinnamon and stuff.
Yep. Cranberry cinnamon, honey pear. And then I'm working on a margarita one with like an agave syrup, lime, and then chunks of sea salt in the gummy bear.
Oh my God. That's epic.
I know. It's going to be so good. And the thing with the gummy bears is like getting the right texture, because I'm just going to give my secret tip out to everyone. Let them air dry for days, like up to a week. Don't put them in a container, because the water evaporates out of the gummy bear and then you're left with a more of that like traditional chewy
firm
candy flavor.
Whoa, yep. Okay, because I've had some that are a little bit squishier and they're always good, but that's an interesting tip.
Yep.
This whole episode was absolutely awesome, Queen of the Sun. I appreciate you hanging out, chatting hash with us. I do feel that we have a good chemistry on the air. I know you feel similar because of our big news that we're about to announce as far as our collaboration here. Should we tell the audience? Yeah. Should we tell the audience what we have lined up?
Yes.
So
go ahead.
Yeah. Queen of the Sun and I are going to go on a kind of a tour and tour. I mean, how else do you say it, right? We're going to do classes in different hydro stores, different farms.
We're touring together.
We're doing a tour, folks. It's the reunion tour, even though we've never done a tour. No, this is we're going to do some classes around the nation, and we're going to do some natural farming courses. We're going to do whatever you guys want, really. I think that we're going to start with the compost tour.
Yeah.
Does that sound good? Are we going to dive into everything compost, compost tea? And I don't even know. I'm going to learn so much from this just from watching you give these presentations and helping running them. It's going to be awesome.
I know. I'm really excited. It's just us working together. The flow is always seamless, and you just keep me on track from my tirades and digressions. So it'll be wonderful to talk all things compost and much, much more than compost tea. Compost tea, honestly, I don't even use compost tea. Like,
you heard it here. Get out of here with that shit. You want to talk compost extract? Maybe now we can have a conference. No, this is
exactly.
This is going to be cool. We're going to go deep. And this isn't, it's going to be a little different than our Growcast grow classes. I think I want these to be way more hands-on. And me and Queen of the Sun spoke, we want these to be longer, very intensive, right?
Yeah, like teach you applicable techniques that you can use in your grow to make your cannabis better, your terpenes higher, more sustainable, save money. Because everything that I do and I focus on is about saving money. And you if you're growing your own medicine, obviously you're saving money because you're not buying at a dispensary. And that's important to you, knowing what you put into it. So having the best inputs possible is also important. And compost is like, just checks all of those boxes. You're like saving the planet while creating your own nutrient for your best quality medicine.
Absolutely. That is beautiful right there. If you guys are excited about this, if this is something you'd be interested in, please let me know. I'd love to hear your feedback. We've already got 1 month on the books for a location. We're going to be down here in Oklahoma, in Sulphur, Oklahoma, and that's in July. So stay tuned for hard dates and hard locations and all that fun stuff. But we're teasing a whole kind of, you know, Queen of the Sun, Jordan River collaboration. So we're going to be doing our rounds. We're going to be coming to a state near you. And yeah, keep an eye out, folks. This is going to be big. Thank you, Queen of the Sun, for doing this.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. I can't wait to be with you in person teaching classes. It's going to be so awesome to get that hands-on experience with listeners too.
Hell yeah. This is going to be dope, everybody. So stay tuned, of course. Is that all for today, Queen of the Sun? That we are at the top of the hour here. I want to make sure you have a chance to talk about everything you're doing and everywhere that people can find you.
Follow me on Instagram at Queen of the Sun Grown. Also, my Patreon is Queen of the Sun Grown. I do have a YouTube channel. I don't post there very often, although I just came up with a high idea while I was eating one of my gummy bears about doing a weekly book reading, because I love reading. I was always that kid in class that like raised their hand and was like, I'll read. I will do the reading.
That's
and so
great.
I thought, wouldn't that be fun? Like a book club on YouTube?
100%. I think that's brilliant. especially reading in live chat. I think people would freak out about that.
Yeah. So I did. I tried it last week and I had one guy come on and then it kind of made me a little bit nervous. So
it's just you and a dude watching you read. All right. This is pretty cool. One clapping emoji.
Catch me, exactly. Catch me on those platforms and in person on our nation tour.
God, stop it. Go give her a subscribe on our YouTube page, everybody. That ain't right. Read now, live stream to one person. Let's remedy that. Go ahead and follow her. Keep an eye out for those streams. Keep an eye out for the classes. And yeah, again, we just really appreciate you. The whole community appreciates you, Queen of the Sun. So you take care. And I think that just about does it.
Awesome. Thank you. And happy growing.
Yeah. thank you, listeners. What else do I have to say at the end here? How does this go? At Growcast on Instagram. Of course, growcastpodcast.com. /action for all the stuff. /membership for the Order of Cultivation. Check out Queen of the Sun on Patreon, of course, and on Instagram. And that's all for today. We're signing off saying be safe and grow smarter, everybody. Bye-bye. Quick note before we wrap it up here. Those classes that we talked about today in the episode, well, they're already rolling. Yeah, that's right. We work fast, people. The Soil Microbiology Masterclass is going around the nation. Me and Queen of the Sun are going to teach you everything you need to know about applying and maintaining the proper balance of microorganisms and unleashing the magic of microbes into your garden. Okay, so here's what you need to do. You need to go to growcastpodcast.com/classes. That'll give you the whole schedule that we're working on right now. And if you're in the Oklahoma City area, you need to go to growcastpodcast.com/OKC and sign up for the Soil Microbiology Masterclass because it's filling up fast, space is limited, and we are at OKC Teach-In, baby. That is Saturday, June 11th in Oklahoma City. Saturday, June 11th in Oklahoma City. And that is at Organics OKC. Sign up by going to growcastpodcast.com/OKC. Also, we have Tulsa locked in. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Friday, June 10th. That's Friday, June 10th in Tulsa at Endless Garden Supply. Go to growcastpodcast.com/Tulsa to sign up for that class. The Soil Microbiology Masterclass, a collaboration between Queen of the Sun and Jordan River. I hope to see you there, everybody. It's going to be a blast. We're going to knock your socks off with this deep dive intensive, the best educational content we've ever put together. We're going to take a look at your soil under a microscope. We're going to teach you how to identify different microbes. It's going to be a blast. And we're going to do a long form Q&A so that you walk away knowing everything you need to know about organic cultivation. All right, everybody, stay tuned for these classes. Shout out to our venues, Organics OKC and Endless Garden Supply Tulsa. Go and give them a follow, give them some love. They're hosting us. Very excited to be doing this tour, coming to a town near you soon. All the info at growcastpodcast.com/classes. Okay, everybody, that's the show. I know you like this one. I know you want more. I got some good stuff coming. New guests, old guests, you're going to love it. Stay tuned, everybody. Hope you're doing incredible things in your garden. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.